Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-ESPN. And if you missed the first hour, a little John Football talk, a little talk about the game tonight, a little bit of everything. All available at podcastarena.com. Go check it out. And also on podcastarena.com, if you want to get a copy of the sensational new audiobook, An Introduction to Sports Betting Blitz Style, which is taking the world by storm for just $12.99, you can do it right there. Just go to podcastarena.com and click on the Blitz page. Hearing a lot of good stuff from people who bought it, and hopefully you guys will enjoy it. You know, we love talking a little gambling, so just to let you know, we will have Wooly B on at 6 o'clock. Talk about that double-digit division dog. Christopher Harris at 5:30 to talk fantasy, as he does every Thursday. A lot of people asking about that game in particular. I think if you were playing it, you'd have to take the Browns, just because, yeah. Even though we've just spent the last two segments talking about how awful Manziel is. Texter says, I'm one of 39 remaining in a 227-person eliminator. I picked the Bengals tonight. Was that wise, guys? Yeah, I think they're safe to win. I wouldn't take them minus 10.5.
I wouldn't stake whatever you're playing for on a Thursday night game. But, yeah. I mean, if it's already – I'm not going to make you feel bad about it.
No.
I feel like it should be pretty safe, but crazy things happen on these Thursday night games. They're too crazy. Too much of a mess to deal with.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And, yeah, sorry.
Well, on Twitter, someone was saying, why does anyone even talk about Johnny Football? No one outside of here in Cleveland knows who he is.
In Bristol.
And Bristol, I don't believe that's true.
This
dude's got 1.3 million Twitter followers. That's significantly more than your average backup quarterback. The guy he's a star.
He's a celebrity, and there's no question, mainly because of his off field stuff as much as his on field. When he won the Heisman, he was a big deal here, but once he started becoming the Joe Namath of the 21st century, that's when he became a big star everywhere else.
Well, that's the thing. And they're so parallel to me, Tim Tebow and Johnny Football, obviously for different reasons, but it's stuff that doesn't relate to football ends up really what gets people's attention about them. And they were both dynamic collegiate football players. Don't get me wrong. Both really good. But the attention that they got off the field is what really turned them into from just, you know, your average Heisman Trophy winning star to like superstar, transcendent star. And those two guys are transcendent of just college football fans or football fans in general. You know, I could ask my mom who Johnny Manziel is or who Tim Tebow is, and she would know. You know, if I asked my mom who Carson Palmer was, she'd look at me like I was crazy.
Isn't that the guy who got the dead kid's knee? She probably asked about that.
Maybe.
that story got run outside of football.
Maybe. So, no, she wouldn't. I don't think she'd pay attention to that.
I'm just trying to stretch. So, anyway, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. And I wanted to get to this because we obviously are starting to see NFL coaches fired, and deservedly so in some cases.
Yeah.
And I found a ranking of the next 7 likely to go.
Okay.
I'm going to throw you a name out, and you tell me where he ranks on the list of 1 through 7 of most likely to be fired. Okay. So, for instance, if I say Mike Pettine, You'll say
I have to hear the seven names first. Can we do it that way? Because otherwise,
yes. But I have to kind of move around to give you the names so that they're not in order. Okay. So Dan Campbell, who's obviously interim, Jim Tomsula, Pagano.
Okay.
Let's see who else we got.
Caldwell,
Patton, Caldwell, Jay Gruden, Chip Kelly.
Okay. I think I can handle this.
All right. So I'm gonna throw out one of those names, and you tell me where they rank.
Like most to least likely to be fired by the end of this year.
Most being one, least being seven.
Okay.
So I will throw out Jim Tomsula.
I'll go with seven.
It's number four on the list.
Okay. I don't believe he'll get fired. It's his first year. I don't think he's a good coach, but I think the 49ers understood that this was going to be one of those years. And he's their guy for the short term, however short it may be. It's not going to be a year unless they find some great coach in the offseason. But I think they're committed to that guy for a couple years.
Chip Kelly.
Get fired or leave?
He could leave. They say fired, but although he could leave in there.
Leaving ups him a little bit, but get fired, I'd probably have him six.
He's seven.
Okay.
So how about Mike Pettine?
I'd probably have Mike Pettine about three on that list.
See, I would have him number two because it's the Browns and they get rid of people all
the time. Brian's not on this list, huh?
He's not. He should be. Well, I don't know. If you look at those names, but Pettine's five on the list. So basically, Kelly's seven, Pettine five. Who do you think's number six? Tomsula, we've decided, is four. So your guys left are Campbell, Caldwell, Pagano, and Jay Gruden.
I'll go Campbell.
They've got Gruden there.
Okay.
I think Campbell, just because, well.
I have a feeling that Jay Gruden is going to be seriously embarrassed this weekend, and he may move up a notch or two.
I think he should be a little higher on that list. So basically, it's Pagano 3, Campbell 2, Caldwell 1. I would put Pagano 2. I think Pagano.
Behind Caldwell?
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, most likely to get fired, they have Caldwell, followed by Dan Campbell, Chuck Pagano, Jim Tomsula, Mike Pettine, Jay Gruden, Chip Kelly. I think Bill O'Brien would be on that list before Chip Kelly, frankly. I don't think
Bill O'Brien should definitely be on that list before Chip Kelly. Or before Tomsula, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first year for the guy, but they may also, I mean, if it just completely tanks, you may be firing your GM and starting over.
I mean, honestly, what do you think the 49ers were expecting coming into this year? They were 8-8 last year. They lost almost everybody off their team.
Well, I there's a difference between what they're realistically expecting and what the rest of the world realistically expects. They say, yeah, we're 8-8. We lost a couple guys, but well, we got to go get our coach. And Kaepernick's going to be a better quarterback. I think this team can go win 10 games.
Boy, that would be really foolish.
let's be honest. How many ownerships? Groups.
How many of them are rational?
Yeah. Look at it and say, you know what? We think we're going to have to rebuild a little bit here.
Yeah. If you start firing guys, like firing NFL head coaches halfway through their first season,
then you become the Raiders and the Browns.
It's a bad look, bro.
Well, but that thing's a mess. He was a bad hire. The guy had no business coaching a football team, especially with that mustache.
Yeah.
You wear that thing, you had no business being a head coach. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Kenneth says the NFL is too busy still trying to go after Brady to be concerned about Johnny Football.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah,
get him. That's the bad one.
Boy, that's so much more serious.
He's a real problem. Yeah. God.
I wish they would just drop that. So, anyway, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. I'm getting a lot of people asking if Kaepernick became available, would you go after him? And he will be available at the end of the year, I'm guessing. I don't think that...
The answer for me is no.
I would... If I get him cheap, I kick the tires on him. I mean, he's had some success being used correctly. I don't think the staff's using him correctly.
Well, do you think Bill O'Brien would use him? Well, like, that's not the kind of guy he wants.
Well, that's what I was getting to. I think... realistically, I don't know what O'Brien would do that would work better. I mean, he hasn't shown me he's a quarterback coach, no matter what everybody said about him.
But the thing for O'Brien was when he came and what he did in college was he was a guy who wanted a strong arm pocket quarterback drop back, you know, traditional style quarterback, what would he do with Colin Kaepernick? I mean,
well, good coaches find ways to use guys like that. If you
good coaches find a way to adjust for great players. Colin Kaepernick's not a great player.
No, but I think there's things you could use him for in the offense. You'd have to change your offense, and it's not like this one is great, dude.
But what I'm saying is Colin Kaepernick worth changing your offense for?
No.
I think, honestly, I think the best fit for him is up there with Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
And Chip Kelly may be able to get something out of that guy. I don't think Kaepernick's accurate enough to really make Chip Kelly happy, but that's the one guy I could see maybe getting some kind of use out of him. I don't think he'd be here. I think guys like Stafford and Cutler are way more O'Brien speed, and that's assuming Bill O'Brien's here.
Right. That's the second half of this.
That's another jump.
Chip Kelly may be your coach next year. Then you might want him.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I hope they at least win one of these next couple games so we're not already on the coaching search. Although I guess we've gotten to halfway point of the season. That's fair enough, right?
That's true.
And technically, they're still in it at least for a couple more weeks. So, man, I saw this article from Jacksonville where the Jags are realistically alive because they're one game out, so they went and broke down their schedule on how difficult each game was going to be. And it's like, well, they have a really easy schedule. And all I can think about is if I'm any of these teams, when I see Jacksonville, I'm thinking, oh, I've got an easy game coming. But anyway. Jason, stop using the Raiders as an example. We're trying. No, they're doing better this year, but there's a reason they've been in the crap.
Historically,
for
the
years.
Raiders have been. That's been the team where they're like, "Oh, we're hiring this coach. He's going to be the guy to put us in the right direction." Mm. Start out 2-4, you're fired.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and
pack your stuff.
And that's why it's been such a mess there. The Browns were firing a coach every year there for a while. But no, I've also been on record as saying they're going the right direction there. Hopefully they'll keep those guys. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in.
Lock them in.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. AJ and I were just putting together a FanDuel team here that he's helping me this week. We're splitting it if we win. The Blitzers have been taking my money. It's FanDuel.com/Fowler if you want to get in.
You're going to get some dough this time. I like the squad.
I like the squad, too. I liked last week's squad. I went into Monday night needing, I think, 20 points out of Jonathan Stewart, and that didn't happen. So, oh, well.
That's a lot of points for Jonathan Stewart, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, I just thought against the Colts, that was a pretty good matchup.
I could see that. I could see you thinking that.
We did the coaches most likely to be fired. Here's what kind of worries me about firing coaches. It's like, who's going to be available? Because
all these bums that are going to get fired are going to be available.
Well, but you don't want them, right? Because there's a reason they're getting fired.
They're not good. Well, I mean, would you want Chip Kelly if he got fired?
I think people will want Chip Kelly. But of those other guys, is there anyone on that list you'd say, oh, I want that guy as my head coach?
Petten, Caldwell. Not Pagano.
No.
I think no.
You might want Chuck Pagano as your defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of guy that you hire for a DC job. But here's the guys that are the best coordinators out there right now that would be next in line. Terrell Austin. Okay. Hugh Jackson. Now, I do think Hugh Jackson deserves another chance. He was pretty decent.
Disagree.
He was pretty decent in Oakland.
Yeah. He's another one of those guys they didn't give long enough of a shot.
But some of these are just complete retreads. Norv Turner. Norv Turner doesn't need to be a head coach again. We've seen everything we need to see about him. Todd Haley.
No.
And Josh McDaniels. Well, we saw that too. These are all the same retreads.
Josh McDaniels isn't a guy. That's a guy I could consider giving another shot.
No, he's a Patriot guy. He's another Bill O'Brien. He's not going to be any good. We've already seen his act. 8-8. That's what you'll be, 8-8.
Okay.
Now, maybe he wasn't. Him, I might give another chance because he might not have been ready for a head coaching job at the time. But we all know who's the reason the Patriots are successful, and it's not Josh McDaniels.
What about Rod Marinelli?
It's another guy that didn't he already have a chance?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure it's one of those things where maybe you wait and see if Nick Saban wants to come back to the NFL, which is always a possibility. You know, one of these teams pursues.
What about Todd Haley?
He was on that list.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear you say him.
Yeah. Okay.
You know who's not on that list? Texans coordinators. No. Romeo Crennel's not on that list.
I mean, he might as well be with some of the names that are on there.
I guess if you're going to put North Turner, although North Turner, like.
He won some games.
Yeah, well, and North Turner, what they're doing this season in San Diego, in Minnesota, the improvement that they've made, you could go, okay,
but
maybe.
But he's one of those guys who, that's what he is. He's a really good offensive coordinator.
I agree. But I always thought the same thing about Kubiak.
Well, and I think that's his best destiny, too, just because they're off to a good start. And I think their defense is playing fantastic. But if it comes down to coaching against somebody, he's going to screw up. And, you know, he had a couple of decent seasons here, too. But I would say Hugh Jackson's the one guy on that list that I would be willing to give another chance.
Okay.
Because I like what he's done with the Bengals. I like what he's done with Dalton. And I don't think he did that poorly in Oakland. I thought he actually – those teams showed me something. So.
I guess Pep Hamilton's not on that list anymore,
yeah,
huh?
You know, Pep's a guy who everybody's talked about, right, for the last several years. And now not
That's
so
another
good.
Guy whose success – you can put him in the T.Y. Hilton bucket of guys whose success has been pretty much tied directly to Andrew Luck. You could put Chuck Pagano in that bucket, too. So as Andrew Luck goes, so goes these guys' careers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Andrew Luck's not having a great year, so he's losing some bandwagoners.
Texter says you probably would have said the same thing about Del Rio last year, and he seems to be doing just fine in Oakland. I think Del Rio had a lot of success in Jacksonville before things kind of fell apart. I think that was more of an organizational thing. I didn't hate that hire. I mean, I some of these guys, as long as you have some success, then I can see a different situation. Like Gary Kubiak had some success. I think a different situation certainly helping him. Del Rio, same thing. And the guy had some success. But things fell apart at the end. I didn't mind that hire of the guys available. There weren't the sexiest names in the world available.
Let me give you one more guy. Chris Richard, the D coordinator for the Seahawks now, who was the secondary coach back when Dan Quinn was around. So he's the guy who pieced together this Legion of Boom secondary. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I got to see more because
okay.
I'm not even looking at a guy like that this early on.
That's risk-taking.
Yeah,
would you rather do that or North Turner?
Well, I'm not hiring either one, but I'm not going to – a guy's got to show me more than 1 year.
Okay.
So.
Well, not that this has been a great year for him either.
No, but – I don't think you just automatically hire a Seattle defensive coordinator every year because, you know, Bradley isn't exactly working out in Jacksonville. And it's interesting that his name wasn't on that list.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see how Quinn does. That's one of those coaching trees.
I think people are watching Jacksonville and going, you know what? These guys are actually improving. I mean, the record isn't there yet, but you can see that they're a competitive team now.
And Jeremy asks, why not hire coaches of the past? Jimmy Johnson, Cowher, Schottenheimer. Well,
because they...
You know how that worked out? Remember Joe Gibbs going back to the Redskins? Guys that have been out of it that long, I'll throw Gruden in there too. It's the game changes, and you see it all the time with really good coaches where it starts to pass them by. When you're out of the game that long, man, it's so hard to get back into the grind. Not just being a head coach, but all the stuff that comes with it and changing your schedule. And a guy like Cowher, you don't have to work hard. He's making a bunch of money. Same thing with Gruden. Man, you really have to want to do it, and I'm not so sure that any of those guys really want to do it. 713-780-ESPN is your number. People ask about Kyle Shanahan. Kyle's kind of he's one of those guys, one year he's a hot name, the next year it's like, I don't think so, and then he's a hot name again.
Kyle Shanahan is typically a product of whatever players are around him because, he's in Washington, he sucks.
Right.
Oh, he's in Atlanta. Yeah. He's got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. All of a sudden, oh, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's on to something.
Just have to hire him in the right place. They just have to have players.
He's the one thing I will say for him, he's a creative guy who has kind of successfully transitioned some of the college style offenses into NFL style offenses. So he's kind of like merged the two in some ways.
He did get a lot out of Bob Griffin for a year.
Yeah.
No question.
So I credit him there. I still don't know that I think he's like a, you know, worthy of being a head coach.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we will have a little fantasy talk with our buddy Christopher Harris. So if you've got questions that are general questions, not should I start this guy over this guy?
Right.
Go ahead and text him, and we'll be happy to try to ask him to him.
I'm going
to
tell you guys one more time what's going on HBO this weekend. You need to make plans to be on your couch at about 8:30, because that's when Timothy Bradley and Brandon Rios are going to get underway. If you don't know about Bradley, 32-1-1, you know about Timothy Bradley. This is the dude. He's got a win over Manny Pacquiao, a win over Juan Manuel Marquez, a win in one of the craziest fights ever over Ruslan Provodnikov. He's one of the top guys in the sport these days, an all-action guy. He's a guy who has earned fans by putting on exciting fights. And he'll take on Brandon Rios, and this should be an exciting fight for sure, because Brandon Rios, 33-2-1, 16 knockouts. This is a guy who wants to go in there and bang. Most notably known for his trilogy with Mike Alvarado. He won two out of those three fights. All of them were wildly entertaining. And he's also another guy who fought a really nice fight against Manny Pacquiao, lost unanimous decision, but did go the distance with Pacquiao. This is going to be a really exciting fight, and once again, it's on HBO. And right after the fight, get the first glimpse at Cotto Canelo, episode 1 of 24/7 Cotto Canelo, airing immediately after the live fight. It's a two-episode program that follows Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez as they go through the rigors of training camp preparing for their November 21st pay-per-view fight. HBO's World Championship Boxing returns this Saturday, November 7th, with a huge night of boxing. Two fan favorites square off. Timothy Bradley defending his belt against all-action warrior Brandon Rios. And after the live boxing, don't miss 24/7 Cotto Canelo. See it this Saturday night, November 7th, 8:30 Central Time, only on HBO. So I can find out who I am. I'm betting all of these
feelings out, even if it means I fail. You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz Fantasy Football Segment. Brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and that music means it's time for one of our favorite guys, fantasy football expert, general all-around guru, Christopher Harris, runs harrisfootball.com, does a great podcast, gives great fantasy advice. Mr. Harris, how the heck are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. What's going on way down there?
Sports and stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
Mostly Johnny Football, because that's all anybody cares about. Sir Sir Jonathan Football.
He's number one in your quarterback rankings this week, I assume, right?
I think there are 26 playing, and I rank 25.
Oh, man. Okay, serious question, and I asked Fred this. Who would you, if these were your options, let's say you played in like a 20-team league or something crazy, and you had to start either Johnny Football or Blaine Gabbert, who are you going with?
I guess actually probably Manziel, and I was sort of being facetious. I actually don't think I have Manziel 26. You know, the slight advantage he has is the ability to run, and I don't think he sort of makes a lot of noise tonight with that skill, but there it's out there. It's a possibility. Whereas with Gabbert, it really isn't. I assume that this doesn't go all that well for him, but, you know, in flashes of those first couple of games, he had moments. You know, he and Travis Benjamin hooked up on a couple deep ones. If a defense makes a mistake, I do think that he can hurt you. I was being glib, but I don't necessarily hate him as a prospect, like, on the field. His issues are all between the ears.
Christopher, I'm getting a lot of questions from listeners for you, but Todd Gurley's an interesting case, and one of our listeners asked, is he the ultimate sell high, or is he a guy that at this point you keep? You don't think about selling him high for something else?
My instinct is definitely to keep him. I don't think you say no to anything. You know, if you've got Gurley and nothing else, and someone's traded half your team, you know, half their team to you to, like, get you competitive again, I could see doing it. But, you know, whereas with Devontae Freeman, the results have been there, and I can't argue, and it reminds me a lot of Justin Forsett last year. You know, at some point, you just sort of, like, accept that it's happening, and it's an offensive line that's really jibing, and you sort of, against your better instincts, you just roll with it. But, you know, a month ago, I was telling you I thought Freeman was a sell, but I'm not saying that with Gurley. The difference is size and, you know, potential durability and the ability to beat you in a bunch of different ways. You know, they're not all going to be games like we've had the past month for him, obviously. But, you know, he's already able to overcome an offensive line that it's okay. It has moments, but it's not great. And you see a lot of 1 yard runs, 2 yard runs for Gurley where there's nowhere to run. But as soon as he gets a crease at that size to be able to cut like that and be able to accelerate like that, it's just, I'm a believer.
When you've drafted a guy like Andrew Luck fairly high, as many people have in a lot of leagues, obviously, you kind of have to stick with him. Do you think about at some point pulling the plug for some matchups, not dumping him, but certainly looking at other guys for matchups, or you just say, you know what, I invested high in this guy, I'm going to have to ride it to the end?
No, I think this is a week where you can definitely play a matchup. You know, I wouldn't view, even with a lot of teams on bye, I wouldn't view Andrew Luck against the Broncos as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He's probably not. It's funny, I mean, you know, Monday night, poor John Gruden is left talking about what the heck he's seeing with Andrew Luck, and the play for three quarters was so bad, he had to sort of resort to, he must be hurt. He has to be hurt. It has to be that. There's, you know, I've seen him be good. How could he be this bad? And then all of a sudden, you know, in the fourth quarter and into overtime, he played really well, and you say, well, if he's hurt, he's not hurt real bad because he could do that. You know, it feels like it's a bad offensive system, it's a bad offensive line, and he might be somewhat hurt and just making a bunch of really terrible decisions. And it feels to me like this would be a week that I'd be okay if I gave him a rest, and if he happened to go off against Denver, I think I could live with it.
Just to throw that out there, I was smart enough that I sat Russell Wilson last week in favor of Eli Manning, and that worked out pretty well.
It did. It's pretty good stuff. I mean, Russell Wilson himself, you know, a little bit of a bust. Not of Luck-sized proportions, but pretty busty.
Let me, usually when we go through our little FanDuel 5 here, I throw out some low numbers for guys. What I want to ask is more of a strategic thing this week, and we've seen it. If you'd taken a bunch of Dolphins 2 weeks ago, you clean up. If you took a bunch of Saints or Giants last week, you cleaned up. Is there, if you can, you know, kind of figure out which team is going to go nuts, does it make sense to take multiple players from one team on when you're playing daily, the weekly fantasy, or is that something that was just kind of a fluke that those teams went nuts?
No, stacking, it's a very viable DFS approach for sure. You know, I'm a little skeptical that, you know, we're able to say beforehand which offense is going to be the ballistic offense. You know, there's always one or two that's a ballistic offense. It's just, if it's the Patriots, you don't get that much benefit from it because, you know, everybody stacks a bunch of Patriots. And if it's not the Patriots, you know, if it's some random team, if it's the Giants, you know, and where the offense had really been struggling, suddenly score 49 points, you know, I'm just a little bit skeptical that we're capable of you know, predicting that beforehand. But especially picking, you know, a quarterback and then a wide receiver to go with that quarterback, I'm all about doing that. I think that's a wise strategy. You know, I'm a little dubious when you want to go running back with quarterback or running back with wide receiver, because I feel like that limits your upside. But you know, in fact, if you're doing multiple entries in DFS, it feels like, you know, even if you're going to pick a different quarterback for each one, I wouldn't mind, you know, if you're going to invest some faith in that quarterback, also invest one of the wide receivers as well.
All right, so this is for my personal team that I put together that AJ helped me with, because the FanDuel guys have been kicking my butt, I'm not going to lie. Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees this week? Love both the matchups.
Right. So who costs more?
Phillip's he's $100 more, but I've got.
Okay, but they're basically the same.
Yeah, same guy.
You know, I would say, you know, I probably say Rivers. Even though it's funny, I'm sitting here writing a piece for Vice Sports talking about how Rivers is not going to win the passing title, and you know, he's been sort of dramatically overrated because he's had some garbage time. You know, I feel like the Bears may be a little worse on defense than Tennessee.
All right. I feel good about that because that's where we went. A couple of other questions from our listeners is Derek Carr worth a start in these leagues for a reasonable price this week? Is he kind of, he looks like he's really turned into a pretty, you know, he's not going to be a guy that puts up a ton of points, but he's turned into one of those consistent guys who gets points every week.
Yeah, and I think the heartening thing with Carr is less about the results, because let's face it, Blake Bortles has had good results, but you watch a Blake Bortles game and you have to avert your eyes because, you know, he's just, sometimes he's good, but he makes so many mistakes. And that was really the case with Derek Carr last year and a couple of early games this year, but I gotta say, three out of the past four games, two in a row, his tape has been clean, making smart decisions, throwing the ball accurately, you know, in a way that he didn't do last year and didn't do in, you know, early September this year. I'm agree with you that it's not a no-brainer. You don't say, oh, this kid's gonna go on the road to a Pittsburgh team that, you know, I don't love narratives, but you would say Pittsburgh, pretty good team that kind of has to win if they want to stay in touch. It's a motivated group, right? And I think it's a tall order for Oakland to win that game, but I still rated Carr as a decent fantasy start in general, because when you see a player playing well, you know, you don't want to undercut him.
Christopher, tell people again how they can listen to your podcast and tell them a little bit about harrisfootball.com, because man, you're just doing a great job with that, dude.
Thank you very much. It's 5 days a week podcast. You can find it on iTunes or anywhere else you find podcasts, called the Harris Football Podcast, or you can go to the website, which is harrisfootball.com. And folks have enjoyed it. We're getting way more listeners than I ever thought we'd get, that's for sure. And actually, this morning my computer blew up, so we did the unplugged version. We did like the lo-fi version of the podcast today and tomorrow. And then by Monday, oh my goodness, it's going to be back to all the bells and whistles.
All right. Well, and I'll tell you what, you got a lot of listeners from down here, because they're all the time talking about what they heard you say on the podcast. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Awesome to hear. I'm glad. I love Texas. Love Houston.
All right, man. Well, appreciate the time as always, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Awesome. Enjoy the game tonight, guys. Thank you.
All righty. Christopher Harris, fantasy football expert. And people giving me grief for asking an either or question. I can do that. Just like AJ can do that. It's our show. We get to do that.
We make the rules,
that's,
bro.
That's the perks. We don't get a lot of perks for this job, but that's one of them. So I'm tired of you guys kicking my butt. I'm trying to get a little expert help here. We're all in agreement on it. It's Philip Rivers versus you guys this week. Anyway, hey, you know what? You know what's going on next door over there?
They're building our studio.
There's a bunch of wires and crap on the floor.
I told you.
So it's being
happening.
Done.
It's happening.
It is. It's going to happen in our lifetime, unless I die in the next couple
hopefully
of weeks.
Hopefully by Sunday is when
is
the
that
switch
the word?
Happens. Yes.
All right.
So Sunday. That's the plan.
This Sunday?
Yes.
So like Monday?
Sunday.
We could be in there? Theoretically?
I don't want to get your hopes up, yes.
No, my hopes aren't up, because if you're saying Monday, I'm thinking it'll be December 16th. But that's okay.
Yes, Monday is the target date, and it's going to be a little different. We'll get used to it, though.
Yeah, you're going to be way away from us.
Yes.
Do we still have that little monitor in there where we can see the callers?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, cool.
This is more intimate than what is over there.
I always said about this, I wish this glass wasn't here. But then people would just come in and talk to you anyway, and then we'd hear it. So I liked it more at the old place when you were in the room with us.
Yeah.
But
see,
we can't get it all my way.
You know, we could fix it to where Jong's in there, and then that studio could become the intern sex room.
No, because the board's in there.
Oh.
But we can knock out that window, right?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
He's still like 25 feet away, even if we do that.
Yeah,
we could knock out that window, though, right? You know what I mean?
I'm not going to say we couldn't.
I mean,
let's throw Laminac through the window.
AD could knock out that window while he was working on a project, and suddenly
accidents happen all the time.
Yeah, the vacuum fell off the shelf and into the window.
Now, then you'd have to have the cleaning people come in here, and we see them once every 6 months. We'd have glass everywhere for 6 months.
They wouldn't be able to clean the pubic hair off the urinals that day.
All right, which they don't do anyway. So.
It's true.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Join us for lunch Friday. We're at Wingstop on Kima on 518, just off 146 from 12:30 until 1:30. Pick up some wings, plus try your luck to win tickets, station gear, or Wingstop gift cards. Wingstop is the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5. And coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, the HD show. Fred Davis and Henry Thomas are out there warming up right now, getting ready to kick some butt.
Warming up? What are they doing? Voice exercises, stuff like that?
I think they're like...
Me.
Oh, they're preparing a show?
Yeah, I was kind of... You know, they're basically what they're doing is looking at their cell phones and texting people. And you know, same thing I usually do, look at porn, things like that.
So we used to... Or this past season, or this beginning of the baseball season, somebody from ESPN New York called and said they were asking if we could use the 1560 studio to broadcast to do their show because they were down here calling the Yankees game, Yankees Astros game.
Okay.
And the weirdest thing happened when he was getting ready, he was doing these lip exercises because I guess he was getting ready to go on the show.
La 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 la. Yeah,
he was doing those. I was like, "What the heck?" And he was going, and he was moving his lips back and forth. I was like, I found that very, very strange.
That's so great.
God, who does that? I don't know of anybody that's ever done that.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Have you ever seen that before? All the people you've worked with?
No.
And you
I would have laughed at him.
Well, I know you would have, but you've worked with some play-by-play guys. I could see.
I worked with Craig Way, and he didn't do that weird stuff. I don't know if he did. He might do that before he calls a game, but before he did his talk show, he didn't do that.
I could see him coming in, though, and trying to go, horn. Horn! Yeah.
Rock and roll!
Yeah, you can practice that.
Rock and roll!
Rock and roll!
Rock and roll! Did I hit my and properly?
3 and 5.
And. Rock and roll! Rock, no.
Darn it.
Interception.
You've got to roll your R, sir. You've got to roll the rock and roll.
The Texans drop a tough one here at NRG. Is that decent? Pretty good?
That's getting better.
Pretty good.
It really is, yeah. Right. Yeah. You got to drag out Heartbreaker. That's my favorite one.
The best play-by-play guy is the Aggie play-by-play guy because he gets super excited when things go well for Aggie. But, like, let's say, I mean, let's just pretend this is me calling Leonard Fournette scoring a touchdown to win the game, like an 85-yard run, okay?
Okay.
LSU lines up. They hand the ball to Leonard Fournette. He breaks to the right. He's going to score a touchdown.
You didn't have enough disgust in your voice, though, because he does get really disgusted. And stuff like that.
And the Tigers are going to win this game. He scored. He's in the end zone.
Oh, what a tough loss.
No, that's somebody else. The other guy will say something, and he's just... What's it? Dave South is his name.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, he
I can't even watch this.
Yeah, well, he gets really disgusted. It's kind of fun.
No, and then he's like, oh, man, we can't give up plays like that.
But he'll stop in the middle of a call if he knows they're going to score. He's just like, oh.
Yeah, what the? He'll do that all the time. You just can't do that. You just can't do that.
That's just not going to get it done.
Joshua said Ron Burgundy did the lip exercises.
That's true.
Bleep you, San Diego. Yeah, I bet he practiced for that, too. All right, so I guess we'll make warming up the announcers your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. Jeweler Gym of the Day.
So, John, what would your warm up be if you had to do a warm up?
I wouldn't have a warm up. I don't know. Drink coffee. Make sure I have all my notes in line. I don't know. Read up on all the players.
You would drink coffee? That's not going to protect your voice.
I don't know.
You need to drink honey lemon tea.
Vodka.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, sometimes I belch into the microphone, so I'm probably not the...
Actually, it's only on Fridays that we do the vodka. Does somebody bring us alcohol tomorrow, or do we have
Yeah.
To, okay.
Yeah, the Whole Foods right here on Post Oak has a brewery inside.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to try that.
Well, you're going to try some tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, the Whole Foods guys told me to swing by. I'm going to pick up some brew for us to come in here and give them a shot tomorrow.
Nice. Awesome. So we'll check that out. Looking forward to it. All right. I know you told me what I was supposed to do. I got it. I got to do FanDuel because I just tweeted out.
FanDuel.
I just tweeted out the link to this week's league. You guys have been beating my butt so much I had to reload my account today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, which is never a good feeling.
I hate that.
That is the worst feeling in the world. So anyway, I'm now reloaded enough for you to take my money for the rest of the season. So jump right in.
Because now you'll never be able to be on that commercial and say, I turned a $50 deposit into $260,000.
Right.
And instead, you're going to have to be like, I had a $50 deposit that I lost, but then I got another $50 in there, and I turned that into $260,000.
So technically,
they're never going to put you in the commercial.
No, they're not. Because they're going to say, well, I put $100 in. That sounds like too much
money.
Yeah,
that's a big investment.
Yeah, they're going to say, oh, boy, you sound like a guy with HBO money. I don't think that works. But anyway, actually, I put in a little more than that. But anyway, guys, if you want to play, we're having a lot of fun with these leagues. We're getting between 270 and 300 people in them every week. Get $200 to win. A lot of blitzers are winning. And I feel very good about this week's team, as I have every week, and it hasn't worked out. But this week, I think, is the week. If not, take my money. Easy to do. FanDuel.com/Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. FanDuel.com/Fowler. Again, I've tweeted out the link. It's also on my Facebook page. So if you want to you want to just go directly to it, you can. Or you can just, like I said, go to FanDuel.com/Fowler. $5 to get in, and you could be the top blitzer. And I will mention you on the air next week, including the guys you used to beat me. If you're not familiar with FanDuel, well, you really haven't been listening to the show very much, but they're the leader in one-week fantasy football. They're expecting to pay out $2 billion this year. You pick your team, you stand to the salary cap, sit back and win. If you don't want to play our $5 league, you can play for as little as a dollar. If you want to play for hundreds of dollars, you can do that too. They've got you all set up. All you have to do, if you're not on FanDuel, this is how you get on. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use the code Fowler and sign up now. Every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200. It gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200, but the offer is only good if you use my code Fowler today. Don't forget to use the code Fowler. If you're already on FanDuel, very simple. Just remember that Fowler thing, FanDuel.com/Fowler. Get signed up for our league. It fills up fast. Give it a try. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.